Good morning, I'm Scott Grant, one of the pastors, one of the elders. It's been a while since I've been up here, so hello, how you doing? Good morning, it's good to see you, Jack, and everyone else too. When my children were young, I should say our children were young, we used to read them from the Frog and Toad stories by Arnold Lobel. And, we have some fans, okay. I enjoyed these stories. I have to say, we read them an awful lot and heard them on the radio, on the car, you know, recordings going down, wherever we were going, heard an awful lot. But I like this one. This is the garden story. So Frog and Toad are friends, and Frog has this beautiful garden, and Toad sees the garden, and Frog says, okay, here are some seeds. You can have your own garden. Go plant them. Frog says to Toad, plant them in the ground. And soon you will have a garden. Toad ran home and planted the seeds and told them, now seeds, start growing. He walked back and forth impatiently and even shouted at the seeds, but he saw no growth. Frog happened by and Toad complained, my seeds will not grow. Frog told him, you are shouting too much. These poor seeds are afraid to grow. Leave them alone for a few days. Let the sun shine on them. Let the rain fall on them. Soon your seeds will start to grow. That night, Toad looked out the window and, seeing no signs of growth, concluded that the seeds were afraid of the dark. So he got up, took some candles with him, and read the seeds a story to calm their fears. In the following days, he sang songs and read poems, but to no avail. What's the problem? There's no evidence on the surface that anything good is happening, and Toad is really worried. If you look out on the surface of our world, there is enough to depress you all day, every day. But we all know that appearances can be deceiving. Jesus, by the way, also told a story about seeds. He actually told multiple stories about seeds, but today we're going to look at one of them, the parable of the sower. And he tells the story of the parable of the sower to inform us, to explain to us what is really going on in our world, appearances notwithstanding. So he wants us to be able to look out on our world in a different way. And for those with ears to hear, the parable will explain to us how the kingdom of God is coming into this world in and through Jesus and his followers. Let me say that again up front. The parable of the sower is a story about how the kingdom of God is coming into this world in and through Jesus and his followers. It's a short story, obviously, but even short stories have chapters, and this particular story has four very short chapters. Let's look at chapters 1-3. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And he, that is Jesus, began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Right away, Jesus has their attention. He says, a sower went out to sow. Why does he have their attention? Because they knew all about this, and it was a matter of survival for most of them, whether the sower was effective or not. The sower goes out to sow, he sows some seeds, and he's hoping for a harvest, and if the crops don't come in, he doesn't eat. His family doesn't eat. So this is a very significant story to these particular people listening to this story. It's not just an academic story. It's a very important story to them. Is the sower going to be successful or not? Are we going to eat or not? Well, what does Jesus do with the story? He raises their hopes. There are three sowings, and then he crushes them. All three sowings result in failure. Now, my bet here is that you can relate to the story. You don't have to be a farmer to relate to this story. You don't need to know anything about the culture back then to relate to this story. Why? Because you know all about failure. You know all about trying and failing. You probably know all about trying and failing repeatedly. Now, your life has probably not depended on the failure or the success or the trying, but you know what that's like. Especially vocationally, especially relationally. You know what it's like to try and to fail repeatedly. Maybe Jesus has you too, but maybe he's disappointing you also with this story. Three sowings, three failures. Well, we need to keep on reading. Verse 8, and other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what do you know about that? It's the last sowing. And there's a bumper crop. It's a remarkable crop. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Three failed sowings and the last sowing is remarkably successful. I don't know where your life is right now, or I don't know how you're looking out on the world right now, but you know this, the final chapter hasn't been written yet. And we also know this from the scriptures, that God seems to have a penchant for coming through in the last sowing. God seems to have a penchant for coming through at the last minute, at the 11th hour. Why? Because he wants to build faith. That's what's most important, is your faith. And that's what Jesus is interested in developing. If everything happened right at once the way you wanted it to happen, where's the room for faith? And the Lord just leaves that room for us to pray and to seek and to weep and to moan and to cry and to lament and to hope and to trust and to hope against hope and to believe that the Lord is present, to believe that the Lord is powerful and that he's good despite appearances. And that builds faith. Well, what effect does this parable have on the followers or the people who are hearing the parable? And what effect, by the way, does Jesus expect all the parables to have on his listeners? Verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12, that would be the 12 disciples of Jesus, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that, here quoting from Isaiah, the prophet, they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. So here Jesus gives a reason for his speaking in parables. He speaks in parables not only to reveal truth, but also to conceal truth. Now, that may seem a little strange. Wouldn't Jesus want everyone to know about the truth? Well, what's happened in the Gospel of Mark is that he has generated certain enemies, and they are on to him, and they are listening to him. And what Jesus wants to do is to make sure that they don't understand him too well, lest they bring about his premature death. Jesus is not ready to die yet. He's going to be very straightforward eventually when he's ready to die, but right now, He teaches in parables to throw his enemies off balance. They're listening to these parables and they go, what's this all about? I don't understand what this is about. Exactly. Jesus doesn't want them to understand. However, he also wants to reveal truth to his 12 disciples and other followers. And one of the ways he does that is with private explanations of the parables. We're going to get a private explanation of one of the parables in just a few minutes. But this is one of the things he does to help them understand the parables, but also for us, he wants us to listen. He wants us to go deeper, because the meaning of the parables is often not on the surface. Therefore, if you're really intrigued by all of this, what do? You stay around Jesus. You may not get it the first time. This may be the 30th time you've heard the parable of the sower, but maybe there's going to be a light bulb that's going to go off this time. You stay around Jesus. You keep going after it. And that's one of the signs of a follower of Jesus. You're intrigued. You don't understand everything, but you want to understand, so you stay around Jesus. You're not a follower of Jesus. It's a mystery. The parable, I don't care about a parable. There's a meaning. Just leave it alone. I got other things to do. But Jesus says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Does that mean you understand everything all at once? No, of course not. It does mean, however, that if you stay around Jesus and you keep digging, he's going to show you what you need to know when you need to know it. Because all truth is not absorbed all at once. It is absorbed incrementally, especially as we need it. So Jesus is here not saying that he wants certain people not to turn and be forgiven. He is saying this is the inevitable result of his teaching, especially his teaching in parables, is that certain people will not turn and be forgiven. Because what he's saying here is that the parables and all truth can either harden a heart or soften a heart. Now, years ago, I lived in Redding in the northern reaches of the state. It's one of the hottest places in California. And one particular day when I was living there, the temperature got to be 118 degrees. Now, Karen and I are going to leave right after this service to go to Camp PBC. So we're going to go right through Redding, and it's going to be only about 103 degrees today. But when I was living there all those years ago, and it was 118 degrees, it was a drought year, and Shasta Lake was receding. And ground that used to be underneath the water became exposed and became muddy. And then exposed to the sun, it became cracked and as hard as concrete. The sun hardened the substance. Now, when I came back to my car during that heat wave, I had left in my car a plastic fishing rod case. 118 degrees outside, inside the car, who knows how much. I opened the car door only to discover that my plastic rod case had melted and freeformed into the shape of a pretzel. Two different substances. One sun, the sun hardens one substance, softens another substance. It's what truth does. It's what a parable does. It hardens some hearts. It softens other hearts. Well, Jesus gives us a really, really good gift here in Mark 4. He interprets the parable. Or should I say, Mark gives us the really good gift, because we understand from later in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus would regularly interpret the parables for his disciples and other followers. We don't get that except for here. Okay, we're on to something. Verse 13, and he said to them, do you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. These are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. All right, now we're on to something. The seed, what is the seed? The seed is the word. The seed is the word of God. Who is the sower? Context of the Gospel of Mark, the sower is Jesus. What is Jesus doing in the Gospel of Mark? He's preaching the word. Also, the disciples are sowers because Jesus sends them out to preach the word. What is the word? The word in the Gospel of Mark at this point is the word concerning the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus has done in Mark chapter 1. He has preached that the kingdom of God is at hand in and through him. The kingdom of God is breaking into this world. That's the gospel message in the Gospel of Mark up to this point. God's healing, loving rule is breaking into this world. That's the word. But the kingdom of God is not coming as many had expected it to come. It is not coming visibly. It is not coming suddenly. It is not coming with swords swinging. It is coming instead with seeds casting. And it is not being universally accepted. It is generating all kinds of opposition, contrary to what many would have expected. Jesus is giving them a realistic expectation of what's going on. You should expect these things, Jesus is saying to his disciples and those who are around him. So what about the ground? The ground, different kinds of ground represent different kinds of receptivity to the word of God, the word of the kingdom, Jesus' message. And the parable as a whole then serves to vindicate Jesus' unorthodox vision of the kingdom of God. This is not what anyone expected. But his disciples and his followers need to know this. So the bird represents Satan. Satan plucks the word away from some. And then there are some who looks like they're doing okay, but then there's, whatever faith they have, it draws the ire of those with opposing worldviews, and they can't really take root. And then there are others who, it seems like they're doing okay also and spring up, but then there's thorns, and there's these other desires, these desires that are contrary to the desires of the kingdom of God. They choke out the word in some. That's what Jesus is saying. Ah, but there are others in the fourth sowing who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit in a remarkable way. In three ways, as a matter of fact. How many failed sowings were there? Three. Now in the final sowing, there's a three-part success. Canceling out the earlier failure. So Jesus is saying, don't be surprised at all this rejection that's going on. Yeah, this is the greatest message in the world, but don't be surprised. A lot of people don't want it. But know for sure that the word of the kingdom of God is going to be successful with some and remarkably successful with some and will cancel out all that rejection. The seeds of the kingdom of God have been sown in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, even if many have rejected that message. Well, this resonates with our observations, doesn't it? We look out and observe that the word of God seems to be plucked from some people. We look out and we observe that it looks like many people start to follow Jesus, but then hard times come and they can't find a root in Jesus because hard times push them away. We observe that some people may respond initially, but then there are these other desires in the world that really take over that they think are more important. riches and whatever, just that seems to be just more important to them, and they fall away also. But there's that fourth sowing. And one of the things that Jesus wants us to get out of this parable is, despite all appearances, believe. Simply believe. Appearances notwithstanding. The seeds of the kingdom of God have been sown. Seeds are being sown right now. Seeds will be sown. No matter what you have seen or heard, the kingdom of God has come. No matter what you have seen or heard, the kingdom of God is coming. No matter what you have seen or heard, the kingdom of God will come. The kingdom of God will be established on earth as it is in heaven, and nothing in heaven or on earth can stop it. The Republicans can't stop it. The Democrats can't stop it. The kingdom of God will come. It doesn't matter what anyone says. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you hear. What you need to do is pay attention to Jesus and the parable of the sower, and the kingdom of God will come. Amen? Faith is believing in what you cannot see. C.S. Lewis wrote this great story called The Screwtape Letters, and in the story you have Screwtape, who is a senior devil. He's advising a junior devil by the name of Wormwood concerning the enemy, who is God. And Screwtape says this to Wormwood: "Do not be deceived, Wormwood. Our cause is never more in jeopardy than when a human, no longer desiring but still intending to do our enemy's will," that's God's will, "looks round upon a universe in which every trace of him," God, "seems to have vanished, and asks why he has been forsaken, and he still obeys, not paying attention to the evidence that you can see with your eyes. And he still believes." C.S. Lewis would have us believe that Satan doesn't like that. Yeah, but what about that fourth sowing? What about that fourth sowing? What do we observe? We observe that there are some people who respond to the word of God, who respond to the gospel, who respond to the word that the kingdom of God is breaking into this world. They respond to it. They embrace it. And they bear fruit. And their passion for Christ and the kingdom of God burns into their latter years. It's one of the reasons I am so thankful that in this church there is a strong contingent of spiritual grandparents. I'm looking at some of you right here. You guys have been through so much, but your faith continues to grow. And because of you, we know that we are not just whistling in the dark. We see that kind of faith that grows in the face of loss and death and suffering and failing health. And that faith is still there. And that faith is growing. And that faith is inspiring. If you don't know some of these folks in our church, you should get to know them, because they indeed are inspiring. I stand before you as a product of the seeds that have been sown in me by faithful men and women. You sit before me, if you are a follower of Jesus, as the product of the seeds sown in your heart by faithful women and men. What then should we do? Sow some seeds. Jackson Brown sings, who's not a believer, by the way, "Into a dancer you have grown, from a seed somebody else has thrown. Go on and throw some seeds of your own. Indeed, throw some seeds of your own. Get to know people, share truth with people, share the word with people, share relationship with people, love people. Sow some seeds. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 and 2, that he and the other apostles are stewards of the mysteries of God, same word that's translated secret here in Mark 4. Stewards of the mysteries of God, and what is expected of a steward then is that a steward be found faithful to dispense the mysteries. Faithful. Not successful, but faithful. Earlier in 1 Corinthians 3, he says God is the one who causes the growth. We are responsible to be faithful to sow the seeds. We don't grow the seeds. God grows the seeds. We have to be faithful to cast the seeds, to sow the seeds, and in many respects, to sow the seeds and get out of the way. That's what one of the other parables in Mark 4 is about, the parable of the growing seed, because in that case, there's the sower sows the seed and then goes to sleep, and then the thing grows. So sometimes we've got to sow the seeds and just get out of the way and let God work. But here's one of the things you observe. Sometimes it's the people who are most promising who will most disappoint you. And sometimes it seems as if the people who are least promising are the ones that surprise you. Why is that? Because we think we know what's going on in someone's heart based on the surface of things. But the seed grows underground in the hidden regions of the hearts of men, women, and children. And we don't know what's going on there. We can't see all of that. So you can't go around picking the winners and picking the losers. That's not your job. Your job is to be faithful and to sow the seeds, especially the seeds among the people whom God brings your way. Now, borrowing here from the parable of the mustard seed, every contribution counts. There are no small contributions in the kingdom of God. Everything small done for the kingdom of God grows to be big. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What does that mean? It means that every contribution to the kingdom of God contributes to the consummation of the kingdom of God. Even if you've sown some seeds in this particular person and though that bears no fruit, well, that's not your job to bear fruit. No, God uses your efforts to ultimately bring in the kingdom of God. And think about this, as you are sowing seeds and nothing is happening and you continue to sow seeds or nothing is happening that you can see, something is happening in your heart because God's calling you to be faithful. Your heart's being transformed. So don't be concerned about the results. Be concerned about being faithful in sowing seeds. And as you sow your seeds, God is going to use those seeds to bring in the final kingdom of God. And we're going to see it someday. Faith is believing in what you cannot see. Faithfulness is acting on it. Last Sunday, I attended the high school group, and that was the day when the seniors or the graduating seniors were being honored. There were about 15 of them or so up front, and each of them had the opportunity to say something, and I was struck by how many of them were expressing appreciation for the community here and the community of friends they had in the youth group, and also how many of them expressed hopes for following Jesus beyond their high school years. And as they shared, and I thought about all of the faithful men and women and children in this church who have sown seeds in these young men and women when they were itty-bitty little children. Several of them were basically born in this church and knew each other from the infant room. And I thought of all of the people who have served in the children's ministry and the middle school ministry and the high school ministry all through the years, and I was overcome with emotion. thank you so much. Now, you may have never entered the children's ministry or the youth ministry, but here's one thing you have done probably. You've probably given to the church so that we can have a children's ministry, so that we can have a high school ministry, so that we can have a junior high ministry. So thank you to contributing to the kingdom of God, to contributing to the sowing of seeds in the lives of these kids who are now young adults. Looking out on the world, there is enough to depress you all day, every day. But what is really going on? The kingdom of God is coming. That's what's really going on, and that's what the parable is telling us. So remember the story of the failing but faithful farmer who realized a bumper crop, and believe and sow some seeds of your own. Remember Frog and Toad? Toad was exhausted. He tried to make his seeds grow. They wouldn't grow. Eventually, Toad fell asleep. And then Frog happened by. And Frog woke up Toad. And he said to Toad, "Look at your garden. Little green plants were coming out of the ground." And Toad said, "At last! What will it be like, brothers and sisters in Christ? What will it be like when we wake up in the new creation and see what has happened to all the seeds that we have sown and see all the fruit that has come from it?" Well, you can't see a lot of stuff, a lot of the good stuff that's going on in our world because it's happening in the hearts of men, women, and children, but you can see this. This is the table. And Jesus gave this to us as a physical representation of the spiritual realities that we talk about. The bread represents his body, the cup represents his blood, and you can see it. You can feel it and touch it. You can smell it. You can drink it. You can eat it. It's about as physical as you could ever get. So you can't see everything out there, but you can see this. You can taste this. So what's going to happen is the ushers are going to dismiss those people in the center by rows, and on the wings, you can come forward whenever you like. Take the cracker, dip it in the juice, and partake when you wish. Let me pray for us. Thank you for the gift of the parable, Lord Jesus. So inspiring. Really appreciate you giving it to us. Thank you also for the interpretation of it, which helps us so much. We thank you, I think even more than that, for this incredible gift. The parable is a gift, yes, but your body, your blood, this is what brings in the kingdom. And we get to partake of it here. So thank you for giving us this incredible gift and what it represents. In your name we pray, amen.